Welcome to Contingency FM. It's very catchy, I think. Anyway.
Lovely intro.
Joined today by Alison Heggie, who is a diabetes and endocrine consultant at South Tyneside Hospital.
Yep. Hello, everyone.
So today we're doing another episode of Bedside Chats, which is where we discuss specialty and advice for rotating onto a specialty with a expert in the field. To start off with, have you got any jokes for us?
Yes, I do, and it's medical themed as well, just to add to that.
Excellent.
So, doctor and a patient in a consultation, and he says, right, I just need to write your prescription. So he goes into his pocket, and he pulls out a thermometer, and he goes, oh, damn it, that means the arsehole has my pen.
Oh, gosh. Oh, dear. That is multi-layered.
Yes.
You see, obviously you're in diabetes and endocrine. Why did you choose that as a specialty?
To be honest, it was quite fortuitous in that when it came to our fourth year, I went to medical school in Edinburgh, and when it came to our fourth year in choosing the SSC subjects, I looked at the list and I thought, do you know what, we've not really done very much of diabetes and it's quite common, so I might as well go and do a project in that. And ended up, so obviously did a project, but as part of that went to clinics and just suddenly realised this is what I could actually do for the rest of my life. Found it really interesting, enjoyed the variety. Plus I think at Edinburgh there were some really particularly good mentors in that specialty who, of course, that really inspires you to then go into it as well. Really nice, kind physicians, knowledgeable, who were very sort of, you know, you could really see the respectful relationships between the different healthcare professionals, which is so important in our specialty. And I was just very relieved really to have found the specialty that I knew I wanted to do quite early on.
It's interesting chatting to other consultants. The role of sort of significant figures, whether that is just people who are inspirational role models, is quite a big theme actually in people choosing a specialty.
Definitely.
As well as sort of an interest in it. And what do you like about diabetes and endocrine the most? If you had to say, oh, this is the main reason?
I would say the variety.
Yeah.
There's so many different conditions, and even to this day, I was just discussing with a patient on the phone yesterday how I find it so fascinating how one little hormone can cause so many different effects and so many different effects in different people. Mm. It really is, you know, a very classic, you know, no one patient is the same. It's kind of, you know, there's such a huge variety, not only in the diseases, but also in how the different diseases affect people.
Yeah.
And I think also what I like from the perhaps more from the diabetes side point of view is you get that kind of continuity of care over time as well.
Yeah.
Often involving patients' families, so it's a really nice specialty, I think.
Yeah.
And it offers a huge amount of interest and variety as well.
And are there any challenges?
It's like any medical specialty these days, it's busy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of patients, and obviously diabetes is ever increasing in prevalence, so there's more and more to deal with. You'll almost inevitably end up doing quite a lot of general medicine alongside. I think particularly because one of our main jobs is that we try and keep our patients well and keep them out of hospital, you know, giving them lots of advice about how to avoid diabetes emergencies and needing admission. And so we tend to have very few diabetes patients on the ward, and therefore often in general medical takes we will get the patients with more complex conditions which perhaps don't quite fit into any other specialties box, which is more challenging. But then also you've got a lot of interaction with other specialties, surgeons, you know, perhaps the kind of specialties that aren't always focused in every hospital, like neurology or dermatology. So it can be really quite an interesting and enriching learning experience to manage these people and really sort of develop your medical knowledge as well.
Yeah. When you were a diabetes endocrine reg, what's the stages between when you're at like CMT or IMT, then you're doing a lot of sort of ward work, a little bit of clinic? How does the training program take you from that to a consultant? Because it's obviously quite an outpatient-based specialty.
Yeah.
After 2 years of that, I still feel like I'm barely getting my head around some of the conditions.
That just speaks to the variety,
yeah,
doesn't it? I think it takes you from when you're an SHO in clinic, I think you're very much there to kind of practice your history and examination skills, maybe a bit, have a bit of a stab at diagnosis and management, but kind of be guided by your senior at that point. Whereas I think as you become more of a specialty trainee, you'll learn more of the management and how the management will vary. And so I think when you're, I think that's the key, is you move from not just the assessing the condition, but onto the investigations and management. So, and that just develops throughout your entire specialty trainee career, such that by the end, you're able to manage things independently. And the other thing to take into account as well is, as an SHO, you know, you will order tests, which then just come back to the consultant. Whereas when you go into specialty training, those test results come back to you, and you then have to act on them and, you know, progress the treatment for that patient.
Yeah.
So that's how you kind of, I think, through an outpatient basis, extend that. And then the other big thing is you'll be doing inpatient referrals as well. So you'll see the specialist conditions when the, you know, whichever physician's looking after them, be it an intensivist or respiratory, you know, when they've reached the limit of their expertise with their diabetes or endocrine issue, then you come in and you offer that additional layer.
And you've also done a PhD alongside your training, and that was in diabetes management?
Type 2 diabetes and pancreatic dysfunction.
So is endocrinology and diabetes quite a fast-moving sort of research field?
Yeah, huge. Yeah. I mean, as you can imagine, with the diabetes, as I said, the prevalence increasing so much, there's so much potential for development and our understanding and... You know, there's so much still that we don't understand about that disease. I mean, type 2 is such a vast, heterogeneous, you know, condition, and it affects, you know, different groups, different ages, different families completely differently. You know, we're understanding more and more about the genetics, which is allowing more kind of precision medicine type approaches. So that's huge. And I think with type 1, there's a technology aspect of it. You know, the progress that's been made with pumps, you know, we've now got pumps that respond to continuous glucose monitoring and adjust the insulin, you know, working towards that kind of artificial pancreas idea. So it's a huge specialty in terms of potential for research.
So these sort of, you know, artificial pancreas and sort of genetics research, do you think that's the future of diabetes management?
I mean, ultimately, I think genetics is the one I would really put my kind of finger on for the moment. I think the artificial pancreas and the technology is great, but I think at some point we'll get hold of the genetics of type 1 diabetes, and then we'll have
better reverse
other options.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an exciting research field. So before we move on to the second part of the chat, which is about the sort of advice for juniors going in, I've got a would you rather question.
Okay.
Would you rather always forget who you are or always forget who everyone else is?
Ooh. I think I always forget who I was.
Why? So I'm massively forgetting.
I know, I guess that's always. I think I just value my relationship so much.
Yeah. Oh.
Definitely.
That's nice. That's really good. They sort of imagine people would think, oh, just, they're very nice, they're very confused, but yeah, that's really nice. So for any sort of, you know, F1s, F2s, IMTs rotating into a diabetes endocrine job, what advice do you have for them?
So I always think, and I do harp on about this in teaching sessions, but for our specialty as a junior doctor, I think the key area to get used to is diabetes, and in particular insulin. You know, it is a dangerous drug if used wrongly, but we will teach you lots of skills as to how to do it safely. And you know, you've got so much resources around. You've got your diabetes specialist nurses, you've got your ward teams that will be very familiar with it, you've got, you know, the consultants, regs in diabetes and endocrinology who can help you with it, and we can really teach you lots of skills to deal with it. You know, 1 in 6 patients in hospital will have diabetes, and that's ever increasing. So whenever you're on call, you're always going to be dealing with diabetes issues. So we can teach you the skills, and when you do need to worry, when you don't need to worry, the additional tests you need to do. But then I also think, well, the other person that I'm really, you know, missing out here is the patient, because they know the most about their diabetes, you know, the vast majority of the time, and they will be able to kind of, you know, they will tell you what they would do in that situation, which can be incredibly helpful as well. So there's just, there's so much sources of support for learning about it, and it's a really common condition. So I would say on our ward, that is a really key area to focus on, and we can help you with that.
I don't want to put you on the spot here and ask you to do a diabetes teaching session, but is there any sort of hard and fast rules or advice that you can offer about how to sort of adjust insulin or think about how you approach people's BMs and insulin?
Yeah, well, I do a teaching session for the F1s where I go through all this, but I think one of the a few key messages, one, patients with type 1 diabetes always need insulin on board at some point.
Yeah.
So if they're not eating and drinking, you need to look at an intravenous.
So it's the background insulin.
The background insulin, yeah. So, you know, you need something on board. Otherwise,
even if they're not
eating
and drinking.
Even if they're not eating and drinking, exactly. So whether it is just their background insulin or whether it's an insulin infusion, they need to have something going. That's really important. I mean, adjustments, we generally go up and down by about 10 or 20%. Don't go too crazy, but, you know, that's a kind of very rough rule. And if somebody with type 1 diabetes has high blood sugars, so that's technically anything over 13, please check for ketones.
And if someone had high BMs and you're an F1 on call, would you advise giving acute insulin there and then, sort of like ActiRapid or anything?
Well, again, it depends what type of diabetes they have. So if they have type 1, then you would probably just ask the patient, what would you normally do in this situation? And they will tell you. Otherwise, sort of 10% of their total daily dose is a rough guide. If they're type 2, their control isn't normally that great anyway, and they're not having symptoms, you might not need to do anything. So I think there's a huge spectrum in that, and I think when you first start out, then seek advice from seniors, and then as you get more confident, you'll learn the skills that you need for that.
That's really, really helpful, thank you.
I guess, well, the other area you could really benefit from in the diabetes ward is there's plenty of scope for audits.
Oh, right, yeah.
As well, and I was really lucky in that I knew early on which specialty I wanted to do, therefore I could direct all my audits and my research and everything towards it. But either way, you know, an audit's a useful skill to do, and we'll have plenty of options in terms of insulin, diabetic foot management, you know, other cardiovascular risk factor management, you know, tons of options that you can do when you're with us, and we'd be very happy to support that.
If someone wanted to go away and look up a bit more about sort of diabetes endocrinology, either for preparation for starting a rotation or just out of interest, are there any good resources that you can recommend?
So I guess in terms of good websites, diabetes.org.uk. I can't remember if it's diabetes.co.uk, but basically the website for Diabetes UK, which is the big national diabetes charity, that's really useful. The Society for Endocrinology as well. And the Society for Endocrinology has good kind of management of acute endocrine conditions on it. So really straightforward, helpful guidelines. From a diabetes point of view, the Joint British Diabetes Society has a load of really helpful guidelines. You know, not just DKA, HHS, but also management of patients on steroids, management end of life, management of hypos. So I think those are really good, clear resources, particularly the JBDS for the DKA and HHS guidelines, because it gives you a kind of hour by hour what you should be expecting to see and how to deal with it if it doesn't happen.
That's really helpful, yeah.
So, I mean, your own local guidelines might be slightly different, but I think those are just a kind of, you know, preparatory reading / kind of consolidatory while you're managing patients' resource.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning. Very much appreciated.
Very welcome.
Having you on the show. this has been Contingency FM.